All right. Let's start from Proverbs chapter 16. We'll read the Proverbs chapter 16, but before that, I think we should just start from the book of... we'll read two scriptures to start before this Proverbs chapter 16. Let's take the first one from the book of Judges. It's a story we all know very well, the story of Gideon. Gideon was... let's read his introduction from the book of Judges chapter 6. Now, if you read the background from verse 1, the issue was that Israel, as was very common with them, sinned. And then God handed them over to the power of the Midianites. And the Midianites and other people, the Amalekites and all of that, will come up and they will oppress them. It says in verse 7, now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel. And then what the prophet said, let me summarize it, is the fact that you are in captivity, you are in problems now because you sinned against your God, and then God delivered you to the hand of your oppressors. All right, that's the summary of it. Now, as a result of that prayer that he had prayed, God now sent Gideon. God sent an angel to Gideon. Again, we're just trying to read through the whole story, remind ourselves about it. Now, Gideon, before I say something about Gideon, let me tell you the degree of oppression that these people have suffered. And I've jumped all the verses because I don't want to read it line by line and spend so much time. The truth was that what used to happen is that when these people cultivate field, time for harvest, even before harvest, those guys would just come and destroy it. For no reason, just come, destroy it. They would graze the animals into the land of the Israelites. And the Israelites couldn't do anything about it, all right? The time of harvest, they can come, harvest your field and take it away, and there's nothing you could do. Now, I'm not bringing out a scenario here that the people had been thoroughly, all right, subjugated, all right? They were people that had been beaten down. Their self-esteem had been taken away from them. If you read that from that verse 11, when the angel of the Lord came and visited Gideon, the son of Joash, you will notice that when he spoke to him, Gideon was hiding, trying to thresh out wheat. Do you understand what I mean? Like you harvested corn. We don't use wheat around here, so let's take corn. I want to shell your corn. So you go and hide somewhere so that the oppressors will not come and collect the corn that you have harvested. Now that's the kind of person that Gideon was. I'm trying to bring out a picture about Gideon, all right? That is, in this situation, it was not only a small boy. When we read further down, we won't read the whole story. You know that he had a son. He had a son that was big enough to go to war with him. It wasn't a child we're talking about. Don't have the impression in your head that Gideon was one little fellow who was so weak. He was an adult. Now, but you see, even when God spoke to him directly, go and remove the idol that's in your father's house, the altar, and the wooden idol beside it. The Bible says that he was afraid to do it during the day, so he decided to do it at night. They came during the next day and found out that the idol was gone and the altar had been destroyed. And they had used the wood from the idol, Baal, to make a burnt offering unto the Lord. And that thing was still cooking when they came. Now, he had to do it at night. Please get this picture. That was the kind of person that Gideon was. He was afraid. And you don't blame him. He has been oppressed. You know, you've seen a typical Nigerian when he sees soldier. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? No, you don't understand. Typical Nigerian when he sees soldier is afraid. And there's a reason behind it. A typical American sees a soldier doesn't make any difference. He's just another human being. Because he's used to the fact that everybody's under the law. If you oppress him, he reports you, problems will begin. All right? But if you remember, Fela even sang the song. He says, so policeman will slap your face, you know, go talk. I'm a mango, whip your yansh, they look like monkey. That's the way, you know, when you have lived under dictatorship, that's the point I'm trying to make. All right? That's just the way it was with Gideon. Gideon was a man who had been thoroughly beaten, not just him, the whole of Israel. They will come collect your harvest. There's nothing you can do about it. That was the situation in which God met Gideon, when God came to deliver them. Please, I'm trying to explain something about the person of Gideon. Because remember last time I said that, today I will talk about this issue of fleeces. Is it okay to fleece God? Is it okay to tell God, give me a sign? Do you understand my point? And Pentecostals, we were taught that no, you have the Spirit of God inside you, therefore, he will just tell you everything. Listen to me, don't deceive yourself. God doesn't say everything to everybody because not everybody can hear everything. Many of the things he wants to tell you can't hear it. There's a reason why I'm saying that. Because I want to paint a picture about the kindness of God, all right? That God understood with Gideon. that Gideon, you go and tell a man like Gideon in that kind of state, get up, I am the Lord thy God, go and fight the Midianites. Gideon will say, go in front, I'm right behind you, there's no problem. And there was a reason for it. He didn't have the experience of David killing a bear and then killing a lion. This was a man who grew up under oppression, who had been oppressed for a long time. He was used to those people oppressing them. He had no self-esteem. To process his harvest, he had to do it in secret. Even in his own father's house, he was afraid. Go and destroy an idol. He said, well, I can't do it during the day. Let me do it at night. Please, do you follow what I'm going to say? Please, bear that in mind. Because we need to understand this thing about walking in the will of God. That's what we've been describing. All right? It's very important we get it. I've explained that, you know, we're talking about the life of grace. That the grace of God is poured upon the person that's walking in line with God's will for his life. And we establish the fact that God has something to say about everything in life. Everything, including the time you go for Bible studies. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? God has something to say about everything. There is nothing that God doesn't have something to say about. And when we talk about the will of God, we're not talking about the one that feels good to my body or the one that appears to pay me off best of them all, but the one that is in accordance with that which God says is correct. You get what I'm going to say? The one that is in accordance with that which God recorded in the books concerning my life, all right, before I was born. Anything I do in accordance with those things is said to be done in line with the will of God. It's not relevant whether it pays me off or it doesn't. You can change a job. You lose income where you were earning maybe 10 naira before. You started earning 3 naira. And they said that guy was not smart. And God said, no, he changed his job according to my will. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, Moses left the palace of Pharaoh and went to dwell among slaves. It was according with the will of God. And it still happens till today. We just that we have this stupid mentality in Christianity. Having wrongly understood the gospel of prosperity, we think that once the thing does not pay materially, it's against God's will. And it's not true. You can have 10 marriage proposals as a young woman. And the only guy you choose to marry is the one that puts into struggles for 20 years. And it's the perfect will of God. Somebody will look at you and say, look, if you admire Brother A, look at him now. He's a multimillionaire. It's besides the point. Brother A is not going where you are going. Let nobody use money to buy your destiny. And they can't use money to judge whether you are in the center of the will of God or not. Please, we see, let's start thinking like Christians. You see, Christians have become crazy. That's what the Bible calls the madness of the prophet. We have become crazy in these days. I'm serious. Spiritual mental law has entered into our souls. Listen, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. You can pick a job and doesn't pay you 10% of what other people are earning, and it's the will of God. What is all of this rubbish we have these days? Testimony, praise God. Last time I was earning 15,000, now I earn 650,000 naira. After I sowed that seed, may God punish you and your seed. Listen, I have seen people who sow seeds to quit a job. What is all of this rubbish? The only sign that we have tapped into God's will is that we are reaping material resources. Then what do we say about people like John G. Lake, who were, look, in today's term, those guys were multimillionaires. They sold, when Jesus said, sell all that you have, it was not a joke. They literally sold. He would take his television and sell it, take his house and sell it, and took the money and shared it out to everybody. Share the poor, share to missions at the end of the day. Say, God, now here, what do you want me to do next? And God told him, get ready. End of this month or next, end of this season, you are going to Africa. Africa. He had to pray for God to send him money to take transportation from America down to South Africa. But guess what? When he got there, come and see breakthrough of missions. Men that he left behind. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Men that he left behind, the kind of anointing they operated, they will sit down. Now, get my point. The guy will say, I'm tired. Sit down on the rock and get up. They will be bringing the sick to the rock. The blind will be seeing. The lame will be walking. People, great miracles. You tell me that because he lost money, he didn't walk in the will of God. Please, shave your brain of that crazy mentality of modern-day Christianity. You can be broke and be in the center of God's will. Do you get my point?
Yes,
he said, I first made you hungry, then I fed you with manna. I was trying to teach you a principle. There was a day I sent my son to school, a little boy without breakfast, that he might learn the will of daddy. He was doing too much shakara that morning. I said, your problem is that there's too much food for you to eat. I said, yeah, pack that food. He thought I was joking. Into the car now. The boss thought it was a joke. Daddy, I'm sorry. I said, too late. 5 years old, though. Into the car. We're off to school. The only thing that I got to the kids, I just called the auntie. Say he hasn't eaten breakfast. In case you see him looking morose and, you know, understand. And let him eat his, what they call a snack. They have a snack break, all right? So let him get his snack very early. Why? That he might know the fear of God indeed. That's not my point. So next morning, when they serve him breakfast, are you eating? All correct. I'm eating. Look, as you see me so. Don't bless me with this breakfast this morning. I'm chopping it rapidly. See, in life, let me just explain this. Whether we like it or not, you are not yet walking perfectly. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And every imperfection has to be shaved away from your life. And God will use everything necessary to shave the imperfection away from you. Do you get the point? And whatever he's using at any point in time is the will of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Look, let's get that one very clear. Okay? Now, let me just come. I felt like getting us to understand that thing again. That what really makes something the will of God is that it is pleasing to God. It's not that it's pleasing to you. Do you follow my point? God's will in the life of Paul at the point in time was so hard. Paul went to go and pray. God, please take this thing away. At the beginning, the testimony God told him, he was telling them, what's the name of the guy? Is it Ananias that prayed for Paul? He said, I have shown him many things that he will suffer for my name's sake. Please, I hope you've gotten what I'm trying to say there. All right. So now, well, I've been explaining this principle so that what we want is to walk in a manner pleasing to God at all times. And the last thing I said in the last two meetings we had was to emphasize this issue of what I call sanctified common sense. Now, common sense, all right, is to use that which is common knowledge to you and you make a sensible decision. Do you understand my point? Now, when I say sanctified common sense, this is what I mean. That is the word of God, that which is revealed, has become what? Normal. You know, that is already normal with you. Do you follow my point? That is, why am I doing what I am doing? Now, I gave this as an example several times before that when people were saying those days, invest in the stock market. I said, why? The few people that told me, say, you see, one day you are going to grow old and you will need money. You know, your children have to go to school. Every time they finish telling me all those things, I say, listen, oh God, this is called taking thought for tomorrow. What we shall eat and what we shall drink and where we do shall we be clothed. I said, does it make sense? For me, it was common sense. No matter what you explained, I couldn't buy that. I couldn't buy that. The first time I put my hand into such activities was after I preached here. Restore our captivity, O God, as streams in the desert. I saw it as, for me, as a means of sowing into the economy. That was why the first introduction I had to it was when Charles Soludo said, capitalize all the banks to the 5 billion naira. Otherwise, you are closed at the end of 2005. I said, guys, we have to make sure the banks don't close. We need them to make our economy vibrant. And I preached it and I advised people. Now, I didn't have any relationship with the bank or anything. For me, it was common sense. So, this is just by the way. Let's just talk about that a bit. One day, I told somebody how many units of one or two banks I held that time. He said, let's do business with that. I said, what kind of business do you mean? He said, we sell, we trade. I said, no, I'm not interested. He said, look at it. Look, there's money to be made. I bought it to invest in the company. I have invested in it. I'm not a trader. The guy harassed me for long. I said, I lie. Till today, look, the stock went through the roof. It came crashing down again. I didn't shift. I didn't say, do you understand my point? No, after buying it, I kept it there. I said, the reason why I bought it from the beginning was to restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew the desert. And God said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. For me, it's common sense. I'm my wife's number one business advisor. All right? One of the major reasons I advise people to invest in businesses, all right, is just for the sake of developing the thing. I said, if you lose money, don't worry. You have sowed the spiritual seed. It doesn't make any difference. Look, as we go on, I will explain some of this in detail. As a businessman, as whatever job you are doing, whatever enterprise you are involved in, you know,
a time will come in which it will look like this step you're about to take is going to make or break you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, people say, how do you know the right thing to do? I said, you don't. It's good to pray. We're going to get down to that, all right? It's good to pray. But the first thing is you ask yourself, what is moving me? I don't know whether I get my point. What is it that is pushing me? A lot of times I watch home movies, you know. I tell people that the major problem that those who do these movies, they don't love the industry. And a lot of the people, they pay so much money to act for 30 minutes and walk away. I said they can never last. You know why? Because they don't love the industry. I said all you need to do is watch a cheap Egyptian movie, watch a cheap Indian movie, watch a cheap South African movie, and you see the difference in their quality and what we put out there every 2 weeks. I'm trying to bring out something. One day somebody will explain to you, look, bring money, let us do this. It will be all the money you have made. But because of the love of the industry, say, look, we have to step up our level to something else. Do you get my point? Then you will make the decision, not because there's more money to me, this one will sell better. No, it's because I'm tired of watching this sham that we put on TV. Listen, when Mel Gibson was going to do Passion of the Christ, that was the logic. Let me show the world what our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. He went everywhere and everybody said, it won't make money. His own is like, look, does he have to? He told them it will sell. But for him, it was not about sales. It was about, let's make it. I don't know whether you're getting the point. At the end of when nobody agreed, the guy mortgaged everything he had. All the money he ever made in movie industry, that's what he put into the movie. And it became, I think, the second or third best-selling movie ever made. And the most profitable. Only beaten by things like Lord of the Rings and Titanic in total sales. But if you're talking about profit, they made Titanic with over $250 million. They made Passion of the Christ with less than $40 million. And they are competing in sales. What am I trying to say? Did God speak to him, my son, thou shalt make a movie to glorify my son? No. What just happened was that he desired to do it. It seemed good to us, Paul will say. That's all. It just seemed good to us. That's what I mean by common sense. And you will find out later that when you take decisions based on common sense and it is not in line with the will of God, that is when God will now send a supernatural manifestation to stop you. Paul never needed anybody to tell him to go and preach to the Gentile city. Once he saw a Gentile city, he preached. But when he tried to enter and it was not a place where God wanted him to enter, then God will stop him and hinder him. And then because Macedonia was far out of reach, he had to dream at night. A man calling from Macedonia, come over to Macedonia and help us. I'm explaining something. Except for situations like that, Paul just preached as it seemed good to him. He's waiting for Timothy in Athens. He sees all kinds of gods there. He begins to preach to the Athenians. That's just the way it works. That's what we call what? Common sense. Sanctified common sense. Having a basic knowledge of that which is revealed. All right? Common Christian principles that all of us know. And of course, that's the point. One that I want to get here is this. As you increase in understanding, for example, some of the things I said about investing in something just for the love of it, an average person may not know that. But after you have learned it, do you get my point? It becomes to you what? Common sense. It's when you have reached the limit of the common sense that James now said, if any man lack what? Wisdom. Let him ask. What does it mean to lack wisdom? I have used every knowledge that I have. Do you follow my point? I have used it. We want to replace Judas. We have checked who are the people that can replace Judas. We have found out that the people must be apostles of the Lamb. That is, they must be eyewitnesses of these things. That's what Jesus said. He said, you are eyewitnesses of these things. So, it was important that whoever will replace Judas had to be an eyewitness. So, they said, let's check who is the person here that was with us from the time of the baptism of John until the time Jesus rose up from the earth back to heaven. And they found only two people. After they found those two people, listen, that's where we are right now. What's the next thing they did? They now cast lots. We're going to read that one in a moment. All right? So that's what we've been discussing. People now say that, is it okay? Some people say that they cast lots because the Holy Spirit had not yet come down. That's not true. That is not true. That is not true. They cast lots because it was okay to cast lots. They cast lots because they knew how to cast lots. They cast lots because they had already done everything that was necessary. Just needed God to just choose to the left or to the right. And you say, you mean Pastor Bank, it's okay to toss a coin. Oh boy, if that's the last thing you have to toss, toss it. The problem is that people don't want to exercise their brain. They want to just toss coin. Should I cross the road or not cross the road? Are you a fool? If a truck is coming, why should you cross the road? Why should you cross the road? If there's no truck coming, then cross the road. They say, why do chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. It's a simple thing. If you have no business on the other side, don't bother crossing the road. You don't need to toss a coin. Do you get one? Anyway, we'll keep on talking until people get this into their brains. Christians love to deceive themselves with spiritual romance. You know what I mean? As I was standing beside the road, I began to rub my son. God says, my son is trying to cross the road. I said, that's why, brother, I land on the other side of the road. Only. Yeah, that's why I land on the other side of the road. Is it not because Mr. Big's on the other side of the road and you're hungry? Do you get my point? Why do you spiritualize it? No, really. We are going to explain. That's the point I'm just trying to get us to understand. That God is very kind. All right? All right. So let's get back to our discussion on Gideon. So here, where did we stop reading? Okay, so we're talking about this Gideon man. Now, under these circumstances, we're seeing Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord now appeared to Gideon. I began to call him names. Verse 12 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. The guy said, the Lord is who? With who? Hey, you can't be serious. He said, if he's with us, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt? He said, now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Now, please, let's continue. I'm trying to jump so that we don't spend all the time. Then the angel, verse 14, the Lord spoke to the angel. He said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Don't forget how we painted the picture of the situation of Gideon, all right? He said, have I not sent you? God spoke to him. God openly spoke to him. And he said, oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Now Gideon now asked for a sign. And if now I have found favor in thy sight, verse 17, then show me a sign that it is thou who speakest with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to thee and bring out my offering and lay it before thee. Now, please, I'm trying to just save time. He brought out an offering, made some food, and then the angel told him to pour it and then touched the meat and the unleavened bread in verse 21 with the staff in his hand, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat. Now, this was God showing Gideon the sign that he was the one talking with him. Now, please, let me just again continue jumping. Then he gave him an instruction to go and break down the altar and the idol beside it. Gideon did it at night because he was afraid. But where I really want to get to is the story about the fleas. Are you understanding? In verse 33, because you see, you learn something about when I read the scriptures. There are a lot of stories that are not recorded in details because, I mean, the Bible is that small. There's so much to talk about. Apparently, what's been happening here is that all this breaking down of idol, Gideon had begun to preach. He had begun to tell them that the day of deliverance has come. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In his little way, he was beginning to stir up some kind of unrest in the midst of the people. And the Midianites and the Amalekites desired to put them in their proper place. Do you understand the point? Verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites, now that's his own clan, his father's clan, all right, were called together to follow him. Then they sent messengers to the whole of the tribe of Israel, that is Manasseh, their own tribe, and those ones came. Then they sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they all came up, all right, to meet him. Now this is where we are going, verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, now before we read what he said to God, get what I'm saying. This was a weak man, Gideon. Hiding man, Gideon. To process his harvest, he had to hide. Then the angel came and gave him boldness by visions and plenty of talk. Then he first broke altar, all right, and broke down the wooden idol. And God delivered him. He got a small boldness. It was stirring up strife against the Midianites. Do you guess what I'm saying? And the Amalekites. A few Israelites, I believe, had gathered boldness to challenge a few Midianites. You get my point? Then finally, all the armies of Midian and Amalek camped because Gideon caused trouble. Oh boy, even if God appeared to you, when you see the strength of the army, you go fear. That's the point I'm trying to get across. That was why the guy quickly went back and said, God, can I see you? You know, you've been preaching and preaching and preaching. No wahala. Then suddenly, the armies you were preaching against, and I appeared. The guy just said, God, please, can I see you for a moment? You know, sometimes, you know, we never can tell. It might be the way I slept that day. You know, things can happen after a few months. You start wondering, did it really happen? I don't know whether you get the point. You know, there was a day you prayed. You said you were there. You prayed, and then you finished praying. Oh, you were so sure that the Spirit of God ministered to you that this is what you are going to do next. After 9 months of doing it, you start remembering, that day, did I really pray properly? In fact, how did God say itself? This one I've been claiming was God that said it. How did he really say it? So suddenly you start doubting. Because things are not flowing the way you thought they should flow. No, that's just human. A friend of mine told me something some time ago about how agents are debriefed. You know what they call debriefing? That is, you send an agent out, maybe a CIA agent, after his mission. He comes to give a report. That reporting is called debriefing. That is, you ask him what happened and all of that. He told me then that agents are debriefed immediately the mission is over. That is, as soon as possible, you debrief the agent. Do you know why? If you debrief him immediately, he tells you what happened. If you wait for a while before debriefing him, he tells you what he thinks happened. If you delay some more, he tells you what he thinks should have happened. You see, three different things. If you debrief him instantly, he tells you exactly what happened. Now, let me tell you about imagination there. It can be so powerful when you remember imagination later, you won't know whether it really happened or it was just an imagination. In the same manner, things that happened long ago, you can easily forget too, that they really happened. In fact, that's why the Bible says you have to be careful that these things don't slip away. They just slip away from you. I'm trying to bring out something. Gideon had a vision some time ago. The thing had become weak. The challenge is strong right in his eyes. This is a man who had lived for years under oppression. God is very kind. That's the point I'm making. That was why he said, God, can I see you? And God said, no problem. He said, just to be sure. Behold, verse 37. I will put, he said, okay, let me start from verse 36. Then God, Gideon said to God, if thou wilt deliver Israel through me, as thou hast spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wood on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dried on all the ground, then I will know that thou wilt deliver Israel through me, as thou hast spoken. And it happened just like that. Verse 38. Then he got up again and reversed the thing. Do you understand? Let's just save time. In fact, he knew that, God, please, you might get a bit impatient. So he begged in verse 39. He said, God, please, don't be angry. Please, I'm begging you. Just one more time, I'm begging. Eh? Let this time around, let it be that only the fleece will be dry and everywhere else will be wet. This is the origin of what we call fleecing. That is the right to fleece God. The people will say that, God, if you want me to do this, please, when I get down to this brother's house, let him be wearing a white shirt. And people say, ah, it's wrong. What if he decides to wear a white shirt? Even God did not speak to him. Wait, we'll get down to that. But let me quickly clarify it. God can make him wear a white shirt for your sake. Yes. God can make him wear a white shirt for your sake. If he said, God, please, I'm going to ask a very difficult sign. I want him to wear a purple shirt. I know he likes only white. You will be amazed. Now, I'm not saying that that's how to get direction. Please, I hope you have been following the trend. I am just explaining that God is very kind and it's not laws. And no, when you get to the point when you need a fleece, you will know. And you will do it. And it will work. He said that it won't be often. You don't wake up in the morning, Father God, If it's egg I'm supposed to eat this morning, let the cock crow from the left side. Look, that's what has made this thing into a joke. Please, I hope what I'm saying, you guys are following it. This man was a guy who had to do something hard. And God was just strengthening him. He asked God for a fleece, and God gave it to him because of his situation. He asked God for a sign using that fleece, and God gave him the sign because of the situation. If you go and read under the ministry of Jesus, the people will ask for a sign. And Jesus will refuse, and God will refuse. Do you know why? What sign do you need to obey God in basic things? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. What sign do you need to obey those? Do you get the point? Look, that's why God didn't use to give those people signs. They'll come and say, if you are the one to come, show us a sign. What difference does it make? You are a sinner. You are of your father, the devil. Whether I'm the one to come or not, what difference does it make? Do you follow the point I'm making? For John the Baptist, who was not a sinner, but a preacher of righteousness, to identify who was Jesus Christ, you know, who the Christ was, to find out he was causing Jesus, God gave him a sign. He said, you will see. You will see the one that the Holy Spirit will descend upon like a dove. That's the one. It's not as if God was totally against signs. You are following my point? Yes, there was the use of sign to the sinful man. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich ruler. The rich man who Lazarus used to lie down at his gate. When the guy died and he found Lazarus was enjoying in Abraham's bosom, he said, please, can you send him down to my house? Let him go and talk to my brothers so that they will not follow his footsteps I followed. I said, that guy was nice. He remembered his brothers while he was suffering. What did Abraham say? He said, it's not necessary. They have Moses with them. They have the prophecies, all right, that the prophets are prophesying or had prophesied. So let them listen to those ones. And the man argued that, no, sir, you don't understand, sir. I'm talking about somebody rising up for the dead. They will believe. Abraham said, I'm not a young boy, my friend. You don't understand spiritual principles. Let me tell it to you. The fact is that if they will not believe Moses, they won't believe even if somebody rose up from the dead. Are you getting my point? That's why God doesn't give signs. Because the people who are asking for signs, they are corrupt in their hearts and they are not willing to obey God. They are looking for a drastic sign to convert them to righteousness. And God does not have that time. When a righteous man really, all right, is in distress and he needs to know the direction to take next, and he asks God for direction, if he asks for a sign, God will give him. Do you get the point? Listen, you know, God will give him. Most people say that, you know, if you just check your spirit, God will let you know what to do. Listen to me. Listen, let's get it clear. The problem is that you've not had to take gigantic and dangerous decisions. That's why you operate by your spirit. You think this is who wants to be a millionaire? Listen, when you have 5 children, your wife doesn't work. You're the only one that works. Do you get what I'm saying? You earn a wage. You've been taking care of them for years. You have maybe you have parents, you have brothers and sisters you help. And then one day, you say, go into full-time ministry, remember like full-time ministry. And you're not going to be jumping around raising offering and collecting a cut from it. You think you take such decisions by the checking inside your spirit. I just woke up this morning, I just checked my spirit. I just felt it was time to just resign this multi-million naira paying job. Listen to me, my friend. I know you are not worried about yourself, but school fees will soon come. Your father will soon fall sick. You had better be sure God called you. Now, you get what I'm trying to say? Let's be real, my friend. God is very kind. You see, Pastor Ben, what I'm trying to say, I'll tell you what I'm trying to say, is very simple. We like things to just happen dramatically. They don't always happen dramatically. Let me tell you what happens to most people. Most people, they just see their income from what they are, you know, from the job they were doing. They just found out that, look, I'm having other income from maybe the ministry I'm doing, or other things I'm doing by the side. And I think I can cope, you know, for a while. And the pressure of ministry suddenly draws them away from that angle. It becomes easy. I used to say that. He said, Abraham, God spoke to him, leave your father's house. I said, my friend, he was used to moving. I hope you know that. You think Abraham just got up and just walked away? Listen to me, my friend. Abraham was not the one that moved. Who moved? His father, Terah. God said, I called you from the all of the Chaldeans. Who moved from the all of the Chaldeans? Was it Abraham? No, it was his father, Terah. Abraham followed his father. It was in Haran that his father died that God now spoke to Abraham to continue moving. Movement did not start with Abraham. It's easy to use your spirit to check whether you should eat moi moi or eat akara. It is easy.
Oh, God.
Listen, I'm trying to explain something to you, Christians. Eh? Look, we're not out to look for dramatic stories to tell. We want to obey God every day. Are you getting my point? And I'm saying that God is kind. When a woman habitually obeys God, and he gets to a situation in which every understanding of God he has to make crucial decisions is difficult to operate under such circumstances, God will interject a sign if he needs to. I gave myself as an example. I'm not an Igbo man. My father was born in Ondo State. My mother at the same place. I went to school there. Well, in Ondo State. After that, I went to University of Benin. Youth Service took me to Taraba State. After which, I went to Lagos to do postgraduate. The second time I came to Enugu in my life was when I came to take an appointment at University of Nigeria Enugu campus. When was the first time? I will tell you. As a medical student, we came for a conference of Christian medical students. Then, Benin was under the Eastern Zone. So, the Eastern Zonal Conference held in UNEC here, and we came. I spent 2 nights in Enugu on a campus. That was the only time I came this way. And then somebody said one day, why don't you go to Enugu? Now, me, I knew I was going to be a preacher. I mean, like, I was preaching, but I'm like, I'll do ministry properly. Where? And I just had a feeling. Now, you can have feeling for some of these things. I just had a feeling that wherever I'll go next is where I will do the ministry, where I'll go and take an appointment. Where is the issue? Listen, an office was waiting for me in University of Ife, Obafemi Awolowo University. The head of the department called me, offered me the job. Look, Dr. Lucian, I want you to come and work with me in Ife. He said, your office is waiting. The office was prepared for somebody else who had not gone over to, I think, Italy, somewhere in Europe. He said, that's the office I'm going to give you. And I said, thank you very much, sir. The prof in Ibadan asked my chief. He said that, what is this guy like? I would like him to come and work for us in UCH Ibadan. Now, all these things are there. You think I just woke up for no reason and came to Enugu? The woman I was going to marry is not even from here. What was dragging me down? Apart from one or two friends said that, Banky, come, Enugu will be very nice. I think you really like the place. Suddenly, I've painted the picture for you. Look, I had a job waiting for me in Ife. There was a half an offer in UCH. Now I'm coming all the way down to Enugu, where I had only been to once in my life as a medical student. I think I was just going to say, my spirit just said, go. I prayed. No, listen, I did. And God gave many signs. One of them was when I met one brother, Prebo. Prebo, how now? Long time. You know, we just gisted. After a while, you know, the way sometimes you're gisting with somebody, gist will just dry for no reason. Then the guy just woke up with gist. He said, Enugu is a very nice place. Do you know that? He didn't know I was considering going to Enugu. That was a sign. God leads by signs. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God leads by signs. Look, and let's listen. That's not even a difficult thing. You know, coming to Enugu. It's still Nigeria. My friend Chuks was one of my closest friends in the world. He was living in Enugu here. So that was not even hard. Remember, you just say, come to Maiduguri. Oh boy, you will pray. You will pray. You know this one that you're doing. My spirit just said I should go. If there's riot on the road, you will tell your spirit, excuse me, wait, come first. Well, are you sure you're the one that spoke? Let's be sure. No, God is kind. He says so that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. What it means is that sometimes God gives you one sign after another to confirm your heart. You see that in the case of Gideon. After all of this, after this please, please thing, God said, fine. At least God, I know you're going to deliver the people through me. After fleecing, all right? And after they are shouted, everybody come, what day? We are going to win. 32,000 people gathered. And Gideon looked and said, all right, God, I knew we were going to win. Thank you. I knew. I mean, in fact, once you show that sign, it confirms something I had in my spirit. All that one he says, because he's seen 32,000 people. Then God answered. He said, oh boy, there are too many. He said, what do you mean there are too many? He said, you know, what do you mean there are too many? 2,000 people. Do you know how many are on the other side? God said, listen, my friend, I am the one that's giving you the victory. If you guys take victory with 32,000 people, you will think it is because we are plenty. And that's one thing. Let me tell you, just by the way, we'll discuss these things along the way. We're talking about money matters. God can save with a few, can save with a multitude. The reason why he saves with a multitude is to allow everybody just to participate in what God is doing. It doesn't mean he needs them. So if they are going to have a wrong impression of what their role is in the work of God, God will drop them sharp, sharp. These ones, they obviously thought their strength was needed. So God looked at Gideon and said, send them home. Anybody who is afraid. And please, if you don't say you're not sure, you say you won't go this battle. Yeah? Go house. 22,000. Say thank you, sir. Oh boy, if you are Gideon, you go lose that sharp, sharp. I mean, shrink to 10,000 instantly. You know, let me tell you what. What they are doing is not just the fact that they departed. They are spreading their fear because it was fear that made them depart. Oh boy, their fear began to affect Gideon. While Gideon was still considering it, God said, 10,000. I think they are still too many. They have dropped from 32,000 to 10,000. He said, you know what we are going to do? Tell them to go and drink water. Anyone who laps water like this, keep him on this side. I don't know how many people were lapping water properly. I think 350 or 300 people. Yes, 300 men. God now said, it is those 300 people that we are going to use. Wow. Oh boy. After fleecing and hearing God, only 300 people who were drinking water in a funny manner. That is the only criteria for choosing them. The only criterion is that they were drinking water funny. No, they were not chosen for their strength or their boldness, just that they were drinking water funny. I'm bringing out something. God, who is so kind, in verse 9, he saw the heart of Gideon. He said, now, verse 9, now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given you into their hands. Now, but notice verse 10, he said, but if you are afraid to go down, let me give you another sign. Go with Pura, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp. So Gideon went down with his servant, and when he got there, he heard two Midianites discussing. One said, I had a funny dream. He said, what kind of dream? I heard that one loaf of bread. I dreamt that one loaf of bread rolled and hit a tent, and the tent collapsed. A loaf of bread. You know, I told you that Gideon had been stirring up strife. Remember I told you that? The other Midianite said, it is Gideon. It is Gideon. I know it is Gideon. I knew we're in trouble when we came for this battle. See the kind of dream we are dreaming now. Once Gideon heard that, he took courage. Now, I'm bringing out something. Now, listen. If it was possible for you to appear before the throne of God and see all the plan of God ahead of time, are you getting my point? And you had the spirit of faith so great, all right? Like the type that was in Jesus Christ, you came up onto the earth, you wouldn't need all of this. Except that that's not what is going on. Except that the Bible says he's mindful that we are but flesh. Except that you can't see far beyond that which is in front of you. Do you get my point? And God, who is kind. Now, let me tell you something about God. I said before that it's how you walk habitually that matters. That's the first thing. Abimelech, in his days, was a righteous man. One thing he did not use to do, as powerful as he was as a king, he didn't use to take another person's wife. And those days, as a king, if you did that, you're a good man. That is, if you said, anybody's property, I will not touch. God will spare you. He could marry 1,000 wives. God will not complain. But once they label a girl as already engaged to be married,
Abimelech will keep off. The day he took Sarah, do you get the point? He did not know. They said it's his sister. And that was why God went and told him in a dream, you're a dead man. Ah, you're dead. He said, Ikuke, which kind of death is that one? He said, you took a man's wife. The guy said, well, light a lie. If I, no, do you get my point? He said, you know how I have walked, at least in that area, if no other area. And God said, all right. I know. That is why I have come to tell you. Are you getting my point? That is when you decided to, when you happened to go wrong unknowingly, then I appeared to you in a dream and I stopped you. A friend of mine called me a few days ago. Said that, before they had said that they were going for a funeral. A very close person, you know, today, like a grandparent, but very, very dear to the family. And a few days later, he called me and said that he didn't go again. And for the way he had described the, you know, how their parents really wanted them to come and everything, I was like, what happened? He said, he dreamt one funny dream. Second, his wife dreamt another funny dream. He told me the funny dreams. He said, by the time you put the two dreams together, I said, no, it is not the will of God to go for this journey. That is, it was a journey they would have gone for. One or two things went wrong. Then one or two dreams were added to it. Do you get my point? Put everything together. I said, no, we are not going for this journey. Because otherwise they will have gone. Please, do you get the point I'm making here? What I'm saying, is it clear to you? Now, I've analyzed this issue of Gideon. Because people ask the question, is it okay to flee? I've read Christian books saying no. Ever since the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, we now know the mind of God. By we check our spirit. You will pray until your spirit decides which one is the will of God. A Christian should not flee. Please, that doesn't make sense to me. A Christian doesn't go around every day giving God, show me a sign. Show me a sign. Yes, I agree with that. But a few times in your life, and believe me, it will be a few times, very few times, you will get to certain crossroads you won't know what to do. If you have read around enough, you have seen that till today, God sends signs to people. I read a story long ago of a man who was in an airport. He was kind of lost. He didn't know exactly what to do next. Then he saw a guy walk up. He said, the guy looked like a prince. He said, you see his stand, eh? The guy looked like royalty. And the man put down his briefcase, opened it and brought out the book and turned the book over. And on the cover of the book, that the title of the book was written bold, like in gold. He read it. As soon as he finished reading it, that is he observing the man. This really happened. As soon as he finished reading it, the man folded the book again, took the cover of the book again, put it back in the briefcase, closed the briefcase, and walked away, and he realized it was an angel. The guy vanished. An angel just came, gave him a message from the Lord. He said when the guy approached, he knew this guy looks different. He just looks like royalty. Next thing, the guy vanished. And he realized that God had given him a sign by an angel. Do you get my point? And the thing was written clearly. What am I trying to explain? No, we don't go around fleecing and giving God, you know, this thing. No, if this will happen, if that will happen. In fact, this is a matter of fact. Most times, before you even make an offer, God, let this happen so that this might happen. He will make something happen that you will know what is his will. Do you get my point? When the Bible said that he directs your steps, he said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Every time. That's why one of the most important Christian practices is to give God thanks before you eat food. It's a sign of acknowledging him in all your ways. In everything that you do, you acknowledge him. You don't have a car, you enter a bus. When you come down, you stretch your back. Father, I thank you for that ride. I had money to pay. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You are driving, the tire goes down. You come down, look at this. Father, I thank you that this, at least I have a spare tire. And in case you don't have a spare tire, Father, I thank you that it's just a flat tire. In all your ways, you acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now, this part, I want you to understand that when he says that he will direct your path, what it means, it doesn't always whisper to you, but this is one thing that is sure. He will let you know which direction to go at each particular point in time. That's the way it works normally. That your flat tire, may be a sign from God. I told a story here, was it last week or a few 2 weeks ago, about the man whose car stopped for nothing. But God was just calling him to go and help somebody who needed help. I said, the will of God is not always the one that blesses you. The will of God, a lot of times, but most times, is the one that you use to bless other people. It's the assignment that you perform. That's what's God's will most times. God leads. But I'm saying that occasionally, you will get to a point God is not saying anything. It appears like. James said, what do you do? He said, I don't know. If any man lack wisdom, then he prays. Are you getting me? Sometimes, the man will say, God, if you really want me to go here, let fire fall down from heaven and consume that tree. It sounds crazy, right? But one day, you will do something that crazy. And to your amazement, fire will fall down from heaven and it will consume the tree. You say, what about Satan? What if Satan wants to deceive you? He doesn't have that power if you are not a man who is normally disobedient to God. We make Satan look like he's the Lord of everything. He deceives me when he wants to deceive me. Is he mad? Nobody gave him that power. Let's get that one clear. If I don't want to be deceived, Satan can't deceive me. The prophets that came before Ahab and Jehoshaphat and were prophesying lies, it was because Ahab wanted to hear lies. Could they deceive Jehoshaphat? They prophesied and prophesied. Jehoshaphat looked at them. Something is wrong with all these people. Satan can't just wake up in the morning and deceive me. The reason why he deceives people, let me emphasize it again, is because normally they don't want to hear God. And what do you mean? Because in the things that are revealed, in the things that are already revealed, they are walking in disobedience. They are now looking for special communication. Do you get the point? Listen, let's forget this issue of saying, this is Old Testament, this is New Testament. Listen, under the Old Testament, a wicked man casting lot, we see wicked, what do you call it, result. A righteous man casting lot will have seen a righteous result. Please, what I'm saying, I believe that is clear to us. Let's just read this scripture. Proverbs chapter 16. He said, the lot is cast, that's verse 33. He said, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. There's something, I just want to read that story because we're referring to it again and again. Just bear that in mind. I said we're going to read three scriptures. This is the second one. The book of Acts. I've referred to it, of course, so many times. I just want us to read this. Maybe we'll find one or two things. Now, of course, this is after the whole Jesus had left them. Verse 15, Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together and said, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his portion in this ministry. But this man acquired a field. He said, now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness and all of that, All right? Now, let's narrate from verse 20. He said, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and his office let another take. He said, therefore, in verse 21, it is therefore necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. Now they put forward two men, that is, those are the only two that could be found after using this criteria that Peter put forward. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship. from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Now, I just wanted to read that scripture to emphasize the things that we have said. Please, let's not ever forget this as Christians. I'm going to round this one up here, because this issue of lots thing is what I really wanted to talk about. Now, let's never forget this one as Christians. I said that God has something to say about everything. Don't ever forget that. And this is one thing we should also bear in mind. He doesn't always communicate. You know, I thought about it. God doesn't give instructions all the time. You know, direct instructions. We need to hear this clearly. And you can't persuade him to do it. Why doesn't he? I don't know, but I have an idea. You know why I think he doesn't give instructions all the time? Because he created human beings, not machines. I don't know whether you get that point. He created what? Human beings and not machines. He actually expects you to develop. Now, let's get this thing. And to make decisions, as it were, by yourself. And those decisions will be in accordance with his will. But what he does is that he trains people. And that's where I've been laying my emphasis. If you've been noticing, I've been laying my emphasis on that thing. That he does what? He trains people. He trains them so that they will know what the will of God is. Do you get what I want to say? When I say no, now, you know, we like to think like, I have prayed and I have checked. You know, like, and when I was praying, I saw a vision and I saw where it is written that this is the will of God. Now, that is good. That is not bad. But really, that's not God's ideal. When God said that you may know that which is the will of God, you know, so that you may prove that which is God's will, what he means is simple. What he means is that not only will you find out that it's been written as this is God's will, but it will be good to you. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. That is, you will get to a point where the will of God is good to your soul. So that even if it doesn't say anything, that's what you still will choose. And I want us to understand that. That's what God is going for. That's why I said that thing jokingly. But it's a matter of fact. Lays the emphasis very well. Somebody said to me, did God speak to you about your wife? I said, he did. What did he say? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounced you man and wife. Before that, God didn't say anything. No, I said, wait. Oh, I married the woman that I liked. I know I've said it before, but I should say it too that you hear very well. I married the woman that I liked. The issue is, okay, how do you know that was the one that God wanted? If he didn't want it, he would have stopped it. The main issue with God is, which kind of person are you liking, Banky? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. What kind of person have you begun to like? And with God, that is number one. You know, you know, there's one joke that people play. Joke about marriage a bit. When it's time to marry, guys go to church, babes go to church. I know human beings are very funny. Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, I've seen guys do this before. Let me just, so that you can tell your friends. The man does, bad boy, you know what I mean by bad boy? Bad boy. But when he's trying to marry, he wants a good girl. Are you mad? Bad boy wants to marry and he wants a good girl. Bad girl wants to marry, she wants a good guy. What kind of people do you think? Do you think God is crazy? No, you know what God does? God is in no trouble. As bad boys, they go to church, go find good girls. So now, so good, bad girl, come to church, come find good guy. They go meet for there, nothing spoil. I'm telling you. I said, God can deceive you. I've told you, God can deceive you. He's very, very good with it. He said to the deceptive, I show myself as, you know what I'm saying? We do it to ourselves. That's what God is saying. You understand? I will show you that I can be twisted. Look, I have seen this one. I've seen it a number of times. The guy come, you say, okay, come church, finish. And then at church or house, whatever it is, you go find one young, innocent guy. And say, hey, God. You know what they call seed? Listen, the criminal of 50 years old, a man who's 50 and a tough crook,
Do you know there was a time he was 2 years old? You know there was a time he was small. Uh-huh, good. How much more is Jezebel? She was also 17 at the time. So the guy thinks it's by catching the girl when she's 17, 18, 19 that makes you a good wife. Ah, error. God said, I will show you no wahala. The madam of witchcraft. Why she's still small? You go marry him. No, really. No, that's what God does to people. So Bobo go come church. Say, praise God. Amen, brother. As he's doing amen, looking around for all the young women. Fine. God said, fine. He said, Jezebel, you don't ready? He said, yes, sir. Go to church. Jezebel too go dress. You don't go wear earring. Go. Why should you wear earring? You have to look earring. And then, as worship is going on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The guy was saying, Father God, thank you. No need to wave hand. You go see. I even jump on the floor, roll on the floor to the left. Oh, Father, I worship. I worship. I worship. Gabriel go losing now. Wow. That's angel. Sister Jezebel just rolling in torment. They think it's worship. They didn't know it's that evil spirits are rolling on the floor. The guy thinks it's worship. And then they go marry. I've seen it. At least I have 2 good stories in my head as I'm telling you like this. 2 in my head. In both cases, after a short while, the wife packed back. Waka come up for house. Listen to me. Look, that's what I'm going to emphasize. It is not the one of I heard God speak. Do you get what I'm saying? It is that I first built myself into the person that loves what God loves. And listen, after that, talking about marriage matter, I marry who I like. Do you get the point? You say, what do you mean you marry who you like? It's simple. I have learned God's criteria. When I said I marry well, it doesn't mean that I have my own ideas. No. If you read my book, Choice is Key to Destiny, I describe that in there. Whose criteria are these? When we're young those days, on campus, they told us that God can give you anything you want. You put put photograph, description of 10 qualities you want in somebody, a man or a woman. And you look at it and say, God, these are this. And you go specifically and God will give you exactly what you are looking for. Fine. Now, is that true? Yes, I think it is true, actually. Except that before God even sanctions that list, he wants to know how you prepare the list. Do you follow what I'm saying? How did you prepare the list? What's on number one? I think that the brother should be at least 5 feet 10 inches tall. Oh, bank is too short for you, eh? So, no, because I'm just asking. So, somebody like bank is too short for you. You know, I'm quite a short guy. In case you think I'm tall, I'm short, you know? See, eh? He said, gosh, okay, drop that one. He said, fine, so let's drop it. Any other thing? I'm coming to the point. So, I want his sister to be this particular complexion. Said, why? What is the reason? Just give me an explanation. There's no good explanation, so let's put that number 10. Let's put something else on top. I'm bringing down something. The Bible says that you must learn to approve the things that are excellent. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Read verses 9 and 10. He said that you may learn to approve those things that are what? Excellent. When you are putting a list of 10 on the board, let's ask God, let's ask ourselves, well, how did we come up with that list? He said, at least like one sister told me once, a car is not a luxury. I said, I don't think so. So what's wrong with the brother having a car? Nothing. So if he doesn't have a car, you won't marry him. She looked at me. Answer me now. No, it sounds funny. You know, Pastor, you understand what I'm saying? I understand what you are saying. I'm just telling you also that what you are telling me that if he doesn't have a car, you won't marry him. So until the man of the will of God has a car, you won't marry him. Why are you putting it like that? But because that's exactly how it is. So we drop our criteria down. You know, the car goes down to number 26 or something like that. Do you understand the point I'm making? Yeah, so how do we put those things on top? What do we put on top? You say, God can give. Yes, I believe you, absolutely. One want to ask. We want to ask for qualities. We ask for things that are what? Excellent. That simple thing. Now, if I say it may sound funny, but look, Lord, I want a man who whatever he says, I will believe. That's a good quality. The law of crooks out there who call themselves brothers. I hope you know that. If any man who lies to you, listen, sisters, any man who lies to you, don't marry him. Guys, any lady who lies to you, don't marry her. In Jesus' name, I command you, though, even if you saw in a vision, tell God to introduce the vision again. That you need a Gideon sign. You need a Gideon sign. You need a Gideon sign. I told you, look, for me, this was banking. I'm running off my message now. One day, a sister asked me, "Say, what exactly do you like in a..." I wasn't married then. "What exactly do you like in a woman?" I told her three things. I noticed what she said. That was what really... That's why I remember that conversation. She said, "I asked you the same question about 2 years ago. You told me exactly the same three. I didn't even know we had that discussion." And for me, it was simple. Let me give it to you to help you again. I said, number one, look, I loved people who love the Lord. Do you understand my point? Remember, I love the Lord. I want people who want to say, if loving the Lord is right, wrong, I don't want to be right. You heard that joke? Yes. Now that's theoretic, you know, just theoretically loving the Lord. Yeah, but what do I mean by loving the Lord in practice? I love those who loved the word of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, for me, it's paramount. If you wanted to lose me as a single man those days, let me visit you three times. And three times you are reading. Today, Robert Ludlum. Tomorrow, Sidney Sheldon. The third day is maybe Jackie Collins. Just know you've lost me. We won't talk. I won't quarrel. I just say, what are you reading? Robert Ludlum. All right. Okay. We won't talk. I won't quarrel, but I have gone away. I have gone away. No, really, that's just the kind of person I was. That is one. Then number two, I said, look, I'm a teacher of the word. Any woman who doesn't believe I can teach is not the will of God. That is, God doesn't even need to talk. You don't need to tell me that, Banky, I don't want to marry that lady. You don't even need to say it. She doesn't think I can teach. When issues come up, we argue. He doesn't learn from me, we argue. Do you get my point? Now listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to argue with me, but I just won't marry you, that is all. No, you can argue with me on cooking, you know, where should rice go in first before the tomato when you are cooking fried rice? I have no problem with that, I'm not a cook. No, really, you can argue with me on weather. Does thunder go before lightning or lightning before weather? I won't argue with you on that. But on scripture, wait. No, I'm serious. I told you the fulfillment for me was one day my wife gave me a book and put on it, to my husband, teacher, and mentor. I say in Jesus' name, amen. No, see, that for me was common sense. And third of all, I couldn't stand disrespectful people. At least two women I cautioned in life. I said, look, stop talking to me like this. You may not think I'm older than you. Or maybe really I'm not. I said, but I said, your husband is my mate. You are not married yet, but whichever husband you marry is my mate. I said, people like you shouldn't talk to men like me like this. You will never marry a good husband like this. That was my opinion. I just couldn't stand it. I'll be talking to you. Just run your mouth anyhow. I said, what is wrong with you? You don't understand that Sarah respected her husband so much. Those three things, I couldn't budge on it too. If God wanted me to budge, you would have showed up personally. No, if God wanted me to break those three things, or of course, there's another way I could break it. I backslide first, you know what I mean? I start smoking and drinking and partying, and you know what I mean? Except I backslid. I couldn't break those three things. You know, ask my wife, she will tell you. Not today I start. I'm talking before I met my wife. I just felt, how did I know? I read the scriptures. It's just a godly thing to do. It's just a godly thing to do. So I put those three criteria down and I went around with it until I finally married my wife. And I said, yes, this is my three criteria embodied in flesh. Listen, are you getting what I'm saying? So did God say to you who you will marry? Yes. How did he confirm me? Finally, one day, do you, Daniel, Bankole Olushina, take Ufoma Iyazere to be thy love? He said, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. I said, you are a real man of God. Yes, that was when God finally spoke. Listen, if I needed to cast cast a lot, I would have done it. But I didn't need it. After I checked everything. I mean, if marriage isn't very easy, no person will agree for you, we go marry. And you can't propose to two people at the same time. And if one agrees and fits the criteria and God doesn't interrupt it and her father agrees, you will have finished the marriage and discovered the will of God before you need to cast lots. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes. Please, I hope I've made my point today. I hope I've made my point. What's the summary of it, please, church? There is nothing like, this is Old Testament, this is New Testament. A perfect heart towards God. If it gets to a crisis point, it decides to bring out a fleece, fine. But you will know when you are being ridiculous and when you are really seeking for an answer from the Lord. I hope you've gotten my point. All right, let's begin to give the Lord thanks, therefore.